Going Linux, episode 107, listener feedback. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
Whether you're new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in Going Linux.
And in today's episode, we are doing listener feedback. We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done. And well, where's the other stuff?
What other stuff, Tom?
We bring you this normally three times a month, about listener feedback episodes.
Sounds just like that, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you made a comment to me before our recording last episode that the introduction seemed to be a little bit long, even though we've cut it down from what it used to be.
Yeah.
So we've cut it down some more, and we've had some comments from some of our listeners, and we are we're just accommodating everybody's desires at this point.
Yeah, that it works for me, because before it was like start the MP3 player and then go get a cup of coffee and whatever, because you knew it was going to be a couple minutes before we actually got to anything.
Yeah, and for those of you who have fast-forwarded,
mm-hmm. You
missed some stuff.
Yeah.
Because we shortened the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good idea. I like it. Thumbs up.
Yeah, good, good. All right, well, in the interest of moving on, let's move on.
Let's move on. All right, let's go right to our first email, which is from Haresh in Malaysia. And Haresh says, greetings.
Greetings, Haresh.
I've been listening since episode 80. Great work, guys. Just want to give you a little feedback. Tom, I think you mentioned how Google Chrome cannot open all your tabs at once. There is one solution that I can think of. Try right-clicking the tab and choosing the option Pin. This will create a shortcut to the web app. Tested on latest Chromium, Ubuntu, not sure about other versions. Also, since we're talking about web browsers plus cloud computing, I would like to point out that the Opera web browser does this quite well. It works across almost all major Linux distributions. Refer to their page for a huge list of even BSD is included. And it has the ability to sync your bookmarks not only when your various computers, that is desktops, laptops, netbooks, but also with your phone if you use the Opera Mini installed on it. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Okay, Haresh, about the tabs. Actually, we solved that one.
Uh-huh.
A listener wrote in and said, click on the Other Bookmarks tab. Then scroll down to the category that you want, and instead of left-clicking it, right-click it and click on Open All. And it does. It first asks you, are you sure you want to open 942 pages? And you say, sure, and it does. And it's not very time-consuming at all. So I will keep that pin in mind, though.
Yeah, and when I do that on my Chromium browser, it actually reduces the size of the tab, removes all the text, and just puts it down to a single little icon for whatever the icon for the website is.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. I'll have to experiment with that. I'm not exactly sure what that does, and I've never used it before. Interesting stuff. Okay.
Well, I've got... Every morning when I first come to the computer, I've got 15 pages I want to look at. So I just open them all at once.
Right, exactly. So, like you said, we've got that solved.
Sure. The Opera web browser, I used to use that exclusively, and I've tried it more recently and wasn't real happy with it, but having a short attention span, I just sort of zoomed away and went on to something else. I think what the problem was... It didn't do Flash out of the box.
Right, and I haven't used Opera for a long time, so I don't know whether they've caught up or not, but...
I know they've been working like heck to make it better. This is not a dead project by far.
Oh, that's for sure. I keep hearing lots and lots of good things about Opera, so maybe we should try that out. Okay, so moving on to an email we received from Christos. And Christos wrote, "Dear Larry and Tom, dear Christos."
Dear Christos.
"Hi, guys. Feel free to quote me on that." We just did.
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of things. I must admit up front that I was not a fan at first. I listened a few times, and the show didn't really speak to me. But one day, after reinstalling my laptop, I started adding my podcasts into GPodder. I came across the show again and gave it another shot. Today, I am happy to say you guys are my number one tech podcast. Thanks.
Wow, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Number two, Larry, I love you on Computer America. I think you definitely hold your own. I do have to say, though, the hosts of that show seem very condescending to Linux on a regular basis, and I can't imagine myself being a regular listener to that show. I'm glad you are out there spreading the word, and if you get a bad feeling from those guys, just picture Tom and me right there with you." Yeah, well, you know, they've come around a bit.
They have, quite a bit, and I don't think they're so condescending anymore, as they are just uneducated.
Yeah, and I think part of their attitude came from their previous Linux guest that they had. And,
okay.
You know, he was a little condescending and a little elitist
abrasive
himself. Yeah, according to them at least. So, anyway, number three, I consider myself a Linux noob. I know enough to be dangerous, but not quite enough to jump in a command line and create a DVD to play on my TV, at least not yet. I feel your show has just the right mix of basic and upper-level geekiness to it. Heck, I was even able to get my wireless network printer working thanks to you guys, although I'm still trying to get the wireless scanning to work on my Epson Artisan 810, which I love, by the way. Number four, Tom, this one's for you. I was not impressed by Chrome when it first came out. I fought against it and didn't want to try it. When Chromium first came out with a PPA for Ubuntu, I gave it a shot. It was a bit of a fight, but thanks to Xmarks, I was able to make the switch straight to Chrome as my browser. I know you said you stayed with Firefox because of Hulu. I have not had the same issues with Hulu in Chrome because I have been using Hulu desktop application. I love it. You should give it a chance and tell me what you think. And he sends a link, www.hulu.com/lab/hulu-desktop. I didn't know they had a desktop.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you tried it, kind of as an aside?
No. It's scary.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to give them access to my machine. Maybe I'm being paranoid, but it's only because everyone actually is against me.
Yeah, I thought when you said scary, it was like it had fangs and
no,
warts and stuff like that.
I just don't want another thing on my machine that has so much access to everything.
Yeah, well, that I understand. Continuing with Christos' email, he says, number five, "Finally, I love Linux, if you haven't guessed that already. I will never use Windows on my own machines again, but I don't hate Windows. Some people are not ready for the open source world, and I understand that. I don't know when Linux will get the widespread respect it deserves, but I hope it will be one day soon. I am fortunate enough to make a living as a network administrator for a nonprofit organization in Middle Tennessee. 99% of our clients used Windows and Windows servers, but they are also all using Linux, whether they know it or not. Our gateway and firewall solution is a Red Hat CentOS derivative called ClearOS, formerly Clark Connect. They are mostly using Zimbra or Hordemail, both open source Linux-based email servers. One day, I will work as a Linux system administrator and even can grow the beard to support it. But for now, I am just living each day going Linux. Thanks again, fellas, for everything you do, and keep up the good work. Regards, Christos, Wait, he provides some pronunciation. He says, okay. Don't worry, everybody gets it wrong. Ekimoglu.
Oh, my.
Ekimoglu.
Ekimoglu.
Yeah, I still can't get it right, even with the phonetic pronunciation. He says, P.S., I have always wanted to be a lackey, toady, or dare I dream, a minion. If the show ever has an opening for someone who fits this description, please keep me in mind.
Well, back to the Chrome browser. I am using that 100% now.
Uh-huh.
Hulu started working for some reason. Although there are times when I'll be looking at a Flash video and I'll click on the full screen and something weird will happen, but not in Hulu anymore, just on some random sites out there. I can handle it, no problem. It's showing me the video, I just can't watch. Sometimes I can watch it full screen, sometimes not.
Yeah.
But I can zoom in on it.
Well, you know, one thing that I like about Firefox, and I don't know whether I've tried this in Chrome or not, but it will display AUG videos right in the browser. So if you click on one, it'll open it up and display it in the browser. It won't ask you if you want to download it. It'll just play it. Same thing with AUG audio. It
wow.
just plays it. Yes, completely compatible. So
excellent.
We'll have to try that in Chrome.
And as far as people using Linux but not knowing it, that is happening more and more lately. Linux is built into a lot of stuff. And as a matter of fact, here, I'm going to take a side trail here, Larry. I was on my favorite weather site the other day, which is Wonderground, W-U-N-D-E-R, ground. And just kind of looking around. And here's a list of other weather stations. So I'm looking at some other weather stations. And there's one out in Lake Michigan. It's a buoy that's anchored out there. And it's taking temperature of the water and the air and I forget what else. But I went to their site and there's a diagram of how the thing works. And the computer that's inside is Linux.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So bobbing about out in Lake Michigan is a buoy that's running Linux. Sorry, Linux Action Show. I know that's your
we're still in your shtick, but yeah. We did that last episode. We're just going to keep on going.
We're not going to take your side of the street. So, okay, so next up we have Doug. And Doug writes, hi, Tom and Larry.
Hi, Doug.
A few episodes ago, you read my quick note about booting an existing Windows installation in VirtualBox. Below is the link I was referring to, and I can say I did manage to get a similar setup working. I stopped tinkering with it, but was testing a hardware theory. Can you take an existing Windows machine, dump it into an external USB drive, and boot it? Answer, yes. But the hardware I had was inadequately slow to be of practical use. I'd love to know if anyone has found acceptably fast hardware. But now I have a 9-month-old preoccupying my time. We will put that link in the show notes.
Right.
It's at VirtualBox, and it's called Migrate Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And, Doug, I guess you're doing some experiments in sleep deprivation now. So.
With a 9-month-old, you bet.
Well, actually, by 9 months, they're usually mellowed out a bit.
Yeah. It's
the first couple of months where you're really considering suicide.
But it's the remaining 7 months where it takes you that long to catch up on the sleep that you lost during the 2 months. Yeah.
Right. And Doug goes on to say, I also found a notable Ubuntu forums posting with additional links, one of which is now dead. I have to say, I haven't been able to dig up much about this from the recent past. Most things are outdated from the forums, and I assume that's because the VirtualBox posting is adequate. It was for me. And he gives us another link here, which we will put into the show notes.
Right.
Keep up the great work with the podcast. Doug, Infrastructure Analyst, Safeguard Services, LLC. Hey, there's a free plug.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks, Doug.
Yeah, thanks. That's exactly what we were looking for. And this is the kind of thing that someone might use to preserve their Windows installation, should they want to do that, on a computer that they purchased and have been running for a while using Windows, but they want to wipe it out completely, install Linux, but they want to preserve that and maybe run that Windows installation in a virtual machine.
Sure.
So that's one way I was thinking you could use it, as well as the way that Doug mentions in his email. So interesting that you finally found it. I was looking for it for a while, and quite frankly, I never thought to look at the VirtualBox website. Should have looked there first, I guess.
Actually, he started out with the VirtualBox thing and did get that going.
Yeah.
But the question he's asking now is, he said that he was able to take the existing Windows machine, dump it to a USB drive, and make that usable. And that worked. But he's just saying it's too slow. So I think he wants a faster USB drive. And USB 3 is here now, sort of.
Yeah.
Not mature yet. It's in its pupae stage, I guess.
Right. Well, and the other thing is you could use a FireWire drive that is faster.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So that's another alternative. But I read this that he was taking the Windows installation, making it into a VM image, and putting that on the USB drive. Am I wrong?
Well, here's what I'm reading. Yada, yada, yada. I did manage to get a similar setup working. I stopped tinkering with it, but was testing a hardware theory.
Aha.
Can you take an existing... Oh, there we are.
Yeah, so... okay. Interesting that we can read the same email and come to a different conclusion.
Oh, sure.
Whichever way you're doing it, Doug, thanks.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on. I read Fraser's email about starting a business with a Linux computer on the Computer America show, and he followed up with this message. Thanks, Larry. Your podcast is great for finding information on Linux and has definitely given me the final push towards using Linux. I'm getting tired of all the license keys and way over the top prices for software. I'm also liking how the Linux communities are very personable, and I get far better help learning about Linux and better information by more passionate people, which grows my confidence greatly. I'm working on backing up all my documents and stuff to load up Ubuntu. Thanks for your help, Fraser. And that's the idea, Fraser, building your confidence and competence.
Sure.
Hey, we got that line in from our former introduction.
Yeah.
Snuck it in there.
And as far as passion is concerned, well, you can't really pick an operating system based on passion, because some of those other people are pretty passionate, too. I'm talking to you, Mac fanboys. Well, next on the agenda here, Mike wrote with this suggestion. Regarding the question about using a symlink to place an executable in user local bin, or just putting the exec there to make execution easy without the full path. In later versions of Debian/Ubuntu, all users in the .profile file includes code that allows for a bin directory in the user's home directory. So that if /home/user/bin exists, any executables in that folder are in your path and will be executable as if they were in /user/local/bin. Or any other folder in your path. It's a nice little feature. Andy says, for your information, the code follows. And he does give us the code. And it would be very difficult to say that on the air, so we'll just put it in the show notes.
Yes, reading code on the air, not a good idea.
Right.
We tried that last time.
Right.
Didn't work.
And then he says, cheers, Mike.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. The bottom line here is that if you're using Ubuntu or Debian, recent versions, there should be a bin folder in your home directory, and if it's not there, you can create one, and you can put any scripts or executables of any sort in there, and they will be in your path so that you can run them from the command line by just typing the command or the script name or whatever it is, and it will work. You don't have to put it in the /user/local/bin.
Right. And you don't have to type the full path.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so moving on to Jonathan. Jonathan's from Frostbite Systems, and he's written to us before. And he writes, "Hello, Tom and Larry."
Hello, Jonathan. Jonathan.
"I was hoping you could announce Frostbite Media on the podcast. We have three podcasts right now. One is called Frostcast, and we interview project leaders of different Linux distros. The second one is about the Orca screen reader. And the third is a weekly podcast about Fedora and interviewing different people in Fedora. I also put a link to your podcast on the website. Hope you don't mind. Jonathan Nedo." And we have the Frostbite Media site, which is frostbitemedia.org, FrostbiteMedia, frostbitemedia.org. And then his normal website is frostbitesystems.com, where you can purchase computers preloaded with Linux, and they also specialize in computers for this sight impaired. And the blog site is frostbitesystems.org. So three different sites, but we're promoting, Jonathan, your podcast site, your Frostbite Media site on this podcast. So good stuff.
Yeah, and thanks for the link.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually listened to a couple of the episodes they've put out, and interesting stuff. Good job.
Yeah, the Orca thing, we have sight-impaired listeners, so that would be something to go check out. Well, next we have an email from Roy, who sent us a correction. Roy says, "Hi, Larry and Tom." Hi, Roy.
Hi, Roy.
"On Computer America number 27, oh, good, he's correcting you, not me.
Yes, of course. I'm the one who makes all these mistakes. Didn't you know that?
"On Computer America number 27, Larry stated that CentOS is available from Red Hat. This is not correct. CentOS is based on Red Hat, just as Ubuntu is based on Debian, but CentOS receives no support from Red Hat. According to Wikipedia, quote, the project is not affiliated with Red Hat and thus receives no financial or logistical support from the company. Instead, the CentOS project relies on donations from users and organizational sponsors," end quote. "I know that you would like to correct this to keep it real. Larry, you are doing a great and excellent job, and it's hard to think on your feet, so I hate correcting you. You will think that I listen only to find fault, but that is far from the case. Yours is one of the best and most consistently accurate podcasts, and I want to keep it that way. Tom, you're also doing a great job, and you and Larry complement each other well. I look forward to each episode. Cheers, Roy."
Well, Roy, thanks for correcting. And if it weren't for people correcting, we would get stuff wrong all the time, which we don't seem to have too much trouble doing even without the help.
Yeah. And thinking quickly on your feet is not one of my attributes. So that's why you will probably never hear me on the Computer America show. So I would just put my foot in my mouth.
We tried to entice you to come on at one point, but didn't quite work. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll stay clear of that. But Roy, again, thanks for the correction. I did not know that CentOS was not from Red Hat. I always thought that it was. And so I really appreciate understanding how this works now. So I'm happy to make that correction and consider it corrected.
We're going to dock your pay for that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Cut it in half.
Yeah.
Let's see. Half of zero is zero.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. Good with me. And now our Gone Linux segment. Cross provided us this update. "Hi, Larry and Tom."
Hi, Cross.
Hi, Cross. "I have written a few times without a reply or feedback, so I am feeling a little left out. Glad to see the show has grown to such a large medium as it has. Now that you and Tom are such big stars, I hope you can help out your first fans, LOL. First, for your Gone Linux. As you may remember, me and my girlfriend Jill have been Linux fans since her old PC wouldn't run but bare bones Debian system. Those days were fun learning and teaching her mount commands so she could start X and hear music. But when Ubuntu came out and a little faster PC found in the trash, she started to really become a fan. Now she still knows nothing of computers, but she knows when it works. Thanks to Wubby, I have been able to also get others to give it a go. My one friend enjoyed it so much she went full Ubuntu Linux, and in this way she also is not a computer guru. But when the county, on the school's behalf, had a meeting for parents on internet security, they asked half-heartedly, quote, "Everyone uses Windows, right?" unquote. She said no. He then replied, "Then what do you use?" She said Linux. He, I was told, then sort of mocked her for being a computer genius, and in short, most of the class wouldn't apply to her. This gave her a sense of pride. My uncle went whoopee, but still a little scared to give up Windows. But my little brother, 14, mocks him, saying, "You don't know the Ubuntu." He also has whoopee. He needs Windows for some games, since he has done his own computer via the phone with me. I think it's best for him instead of a true dual boot. My uncle also has a computer for the kids and guests. We have gone fully Ubuntu. Well, thanks, Cross, for the update, and sorry you're feeling left out.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah, I promise when you send us an email, I'll read it on the air so you don't feel left out. Thanks.
And we now have on deck Keld, K-E-L-D, who wrote, "Hi, Tom and Larry." Hi, Keld.
Hi, Keld.
"Are you ready for the best story on Going Linux ever so far?" Well, yes, we are, Kel.
Sure. Let's go.
"At work, we have about 50 old PCs that we are never going to use anymore. So I propose that we reinstall the PCs with Linux so we don't use our licenses for Windows XP. So me and a colleague are installing with Ubuntu and everything for Flash, Java, and MP3, and for films, and then the company will donate them to an asylum center. And the best thing, I'll put all of the back episodes of Going Linux on them so they can learn Linux. I don't think they'll have access to the worldwide spam net." Okay. "There you have it, this project. I hope will be finished in 2 weeks. So to all listeners, if you are at a company and they have some old PCs, wipe the HD, install Linux, and donate them away. Best regards, Keld." Very good idea, Keld. Nice going.
Yes, and thanks for putting the back episodes of Going Linux on there.
And on a related topic, our friend Bill showed me a site, freelinuxbox.org, where you can donate to anybody who wants it a box that's got Linux installed. Shipping is extra if you're not going to pick it up. And it's usually just the box itself. And a lot of times for a small sum, the monitor and keyboard and all that stuff is extra. So if you've got an old Linux box and you want to give it away to somebody who needs it, sounds like a great idea.
You bet. And we've mentioned that particular site on the show before. I think it was actually on a Computer America episode.
I mentioned
it. So we have a link in the past show notes, but we'll include a link again here just to ensure that it's updated.
Right.
So there you go. So, Tom, that's it for our episode.
Oh, we're done. Okay.
We are done. A short one this time. And our next episode will be the advanced episode of using the graphical user interface for Shell Command Junkies. That's got to be the longest title of an episode we've had yet.
Yeah.
Until then, you can go to our articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations.
And you can email us with comments, questions, and suggestions. And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, please use the Podcast Alley button to leave your topic suggestion while you vote for us on their site.
And you can send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on the show. And our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com. And while we're on that topic, I have to say we received a very, very generous donation over the past couple of weeks. And I don't know whether he would want us to mention his name. He didn't say either way, but I have to say thank you publicly for that generous donation. I've already exchanged some emails and sent the thank you by email, but thank you for clicking the donate button on our website and giving us a donation.
Right. Thanks very much. You can follow our show updates on Twitter and Identica. We are Going Linux, all one word. You can download the episodes from the website, or you can use the Flash Player to play them right there on the show notes page.
You can also get future episodes delivered directly to your computer automatically as soon as new episodes are available. For instructions on how to subscribe to a podcast, which is what you do to get those episodes automatically, go to subscribe.goinglinux.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.
Hey everyone, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever wondered how you could help open source? Well, I have a great idea. You can donate your old computer to someone in need and give the gift of Linux. All you need to do is make sure you have Linux installed and running on your old machine and head on over to freelinuxbox.org. Again, that's freelinuxbox.org. And thanks for listening to this great podcast.